We present G.F. Newman's The Corrupted, Episode 5. That's what I want.
Sir Joseph Olinska made a full recovery. After a week or so in Wellington Private Hospital and a week's convalescence in Antibes in the south of France. When the trial resumed, it was soon knocked off the front pages by the terrible earthquake in Kobe in Japan that killed over 5,000 people, while the Japanese authorities were powerless in the face of such a disaster. There was a peso crisis in Mexico, and President Clinton created a $20 billion line of credit for the country to pay its growing foreign debt. And all the while, Joey Olinska was making money from the crisis, like most of his kind, by shorting the currency. Here at Parkhurst, it was business as usual. Pongo was back on our wing with Jack running the drugs, and I was hoping more than anything that Brian Perry would prove up to his big day in court.
Mr. Perry, Brian Frederick Perry, a.k.a. BP, just so we're certain we've got the right man in the dock, I beg your pardon, the witness box?
Yeah, that's who I am.
Aged 48 and currently serving 8 years in Parkhurst Prison on the Isle of Wight for handling stolen goods?
Yeah.
Can you speak up, Mr. Perry? I'm sure the jury didn't hear you.
Yeah, that's right, sir.
Of those 48 years, how many have been spent inside Her Majesty's prisons?
Well, I'm not sure, sir.
Would 18 years sound right? More than half your adult life in how many different sentences? I don't think the jury heard that, Mr. Perry.
Five.
I think you'll agree, Mr. Perry, that crime doesn't pay.
No, sir.
Would you also agree that you don't want to spend more time in prison and would do anything to get out?
I've learned my lesson. I would like to get out, sir.
Even if it means perjuring yourself so as not to get an extra sentence for handling gold bullion stolen from a bonded warehouse?
No, I didn't. I never.
You didn't what? Perjure yourself or handle the stolen bullion?
I didn't lie about having a deal with Sir Joseph Olinska.
A felony for which you've not been convicted, and one that could cost you 10 more years in prison?
No, I have been promised immunity from further prosecution.
Oh, have you indeed? By Detective Chief Superintendent Redvers? Yes. He's been suspended pending an inquiry as to how Deputy Assistant Commissioner Henderson's supposed signature got on the letter that was shown to you.
I got a copy of it.
So does the court, Mr. Perry. Only, it appears to be the handiwork of a senior policeman overzealously trying to convict a man for personal reasons.
I don't know nothing about that. I thought I was doing the right thing here.
Cast your mind back to the afternoon of 9th of May, 1985. You went to see Sir Joseph Olinska at his office in Mayfair. Would you tell the jury the substance of the meeting?
I asked him there in the dock to handle some stolen gold.
Let me ask you this. In the degrees of crime, would you say handling stolen goods was less or more egregious than extortion?
Well, I suppose it's less.
Three of your previous convictions were for extortion, were they not? Just so the jury knows. You've gone silent again, Mr. Perry.
Yes, they were.
You've stated that you don't wish to serve any more time in prison. But had you been in America, you'd be considered a three-time loser and spending the rest of your life in prison.
Is this relevant, Mr. Carman?
I'm painting a picture for the jury, Your Honour.
Well, let's not wait for the paint to dry.
When you went to Sir Joseph's office, you just imagined you could come right out and ask him to handle stolen gold?
No, I was told he was my man by a detective. An old Bill called Tony Wednesday.
Is that Detective Chief Superintendent Tony Wednesday, the head of the flying squad, a policeman with two commendations?
Yes.
A police officer who has spent almost his entire career capturing bank robbers and the like. The man who headed the investigation with the bullion robbers. I'm sure if you told that to a donkey, he'd kick you. Isn't it a fact that DCS Wednesday interviewed you relating to the stolen bullion? And subsequently, when you went to see Sir Joseph Ilinska to ask him about selling the gold, he told you that any large amount of gold would probably be stolen and turned you down.
No, he did the business with that crook in New York called Robert Gallo.
That is the truth. Mr. Gallo went to prison. The fact is, this whole story was put to you by a potential forger, suspended Chief Superintendent Redvers, to implicate Sir Joseph. In other words, a conspiracy. Robert Gallo was part of that conspiracy. But as it got more involved, he withdrew his written testimony and made a subsequent statement saying there was no involvement on the part of Sir Joseph or himself. I have copies of that statement here. Your Honour.
Would counsel see me in chambers?
All rise.
Just what do you think you're doing, coming into my court with such a poorly prepared case, Mr. Murray?
I didn't know about Gallo retracting his statement. Mr. Carman blindsided me.
For God's sake, he's a prosecution witness. I'm going to stop this trial and dismiss the jury.
With respect, Judge, Sir Joseph would not be very happy with that. The implication of wrongdoing will hang over.
Yes, of course, you're right, George. I shall instruct the jury to find the defendant not guilty and say he leaves this court without a stain on his character. He doesn't drink, smoke, laugh, takes her bus in the country. Says she comes to no harm on the animal farm in the country. In the country.
In the country. That was Tony Blair on the phone congratulating you, Joseph. I told him you were a bit tired after your ordeal.
I could do with another weekend on Teep. In fact, I think we might look for an apartment there on the seafront as our bolt-hole.
What a wonderful idea. We're going to get an apartment and on Teep, Arnold.
Will there be a spare room for me?
One for the magnificent George Carman too, provided he doesn't smoke in the flat. He did a wonderful job.
He might smart a bit when he sends me his final account.
Not as much as I'd have smarted in prison. I'll have nightmares about that.
It's not all good news, Joseph. I just spoke to the editor of the Evening Standard. They'll only run an item on page 6, no headline. He said, for them, the wrong party won.
Remind me not to buy the Evening Standard ever again.
Well, don't let him worry you, Margaret. I'll go back to the office and work on the editors of the Qualities for tomorrow. 7 o'clock dinner at the Savile. I'll make sure George is on time. Sand cigarettes.
Oi. Don't look so down, BP. No, I hoped it would happen. Didn't really think we'd bring down Joey that easily. But what goes around comes around.
You really believe that, Brian? I feel I've let us all down. Your mum especially, after what that dog did to her.
You lose a battle, it doesn't mean you lose the war. There'll be some other way to bring him down, right? It'll happen.
How? Can't see it myself.
History tells a different story. No one wins all the time.
I wish I was as optimistic as you about that. There must be something in your past dealings with him that could come back to bite him.
The only problem with that, Brian, is it might come back and bite me.
Oldman, the doc wants to see you.
Why? I'm not ill, Mr. Peters.
I wouldn't be so sure about that. I read in the Reader's Digest that all criminals are sociopaths. I think it said that's a mental condition. That's probably why the doc wants to see you. It's the head doctor.
Why didn't you say? I could probably get some pills for my sociopathic tendencies.
Yeah, get some for me while you're at it, Brian.
Ah, you'll have to see yourself, Perry, and get your own.
Come in and sit down, Brian. I'm Dr. Langham.
You think I don't remember you?
This is psychiatric nurse Moriarty.
I'd never think of looking for you here, Moriarty.
Who's that, Sunshine?
Sherlock Holmes.
What's he doing in here, then?
It's a joke. Sherlock Holmes, Moriarty. No? Forget it.
Do sit, Brian. How are you getting on?
Well, I haven't tried to escape lately. Eaten all my porridge, now it's vegan. And been studying English at Open University.
Oh, How are you finding the course?
Yeah, I'm thinking of switching to medicine. Oh. I might win more friends and influence more people if I had a bit of medical knowledge.
And that's important to you, is it?
Well, everyone wants free medical advice.
You're settling down nicely, then.
Well, I haven't given up on getting the truth about Joey Oldman out being responsible for those fires.
But you haven't protested the fact for a while.
It doesn't take too much butting your head against a wall before you realise the wall's a lot harder.
That's good. Such a change of attitude will be very helpful when you become eligible for parole.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I can see him letting me out before every minute of my sentence has been served. Don't wind me up, Leah.
My name is here on my badge, Dr. Elizabeth Langham.
Sorry, I was thinking of someone else.
Excuse me, Doctor, I've forgotten some notes. Will you be all right on your own for a few moments?
I'm sure that'll be fine, Paul. Don't be long.
Back in a jiff.
Leah, I thought I'd never see you again. Never.
We've got to be careful, Brian, in case this is a test of some sort, Paul going out. Sit down again before he comes back.
Leah, Leah, I'm going mad without you. I really will be a patient soon.
You really ought to start working towards applying for parole. You may not get it first time, but how you take disappointment goes a long way towards your second application.
It's not exactly encouraging, Doc, is it? Knowing you're going to be turned down whatever you do.
I can't change the system, Brian, but I can help you to adjust to it. Are you sleeping all right?
Well, I don't wake up nights racked with guilt, if that's what you're thinking.
Do you use any illicit drugs from other prisoners?
I didn't know there were such things in prison.
Yeah, right.
I worry in case I'm going stir crazy and just passively accepting my lot without protest.
You said yourself, when you bang your head against the wall is harder.
That doesn't mean I should simply accept my lot. That's the route to depression and suicide.
I think studying for a degree is helping you. Good.
Did you hear the news, Brian?
World War III's been declared.
They ain't letting us out if it has. Ronnie Craze died in Broadmoor. Reggie's going mad. He reckons they killed him.
They probably did. All the Largactu they were pumping into him.
He went berserk and attacked Jack Braden, trying to get his gear so we could end it all.
That wouldn't have done him any favours. Where is he?
Up on the twos in Jack's cell, with Pongo sitting on him.
Let's take a deco.
It's fine with Eddie Richardson.
What, has he got that shrink with him? We better have her up here, eh?
Let me up, you black bastard! I'll kill you and all them screws for killing Ronnie like they done!
You ain't going to kill no one, Reggie. Ronnie was a nutter. He weren't a good to no one. What do you want, Brian? I got nothing for you.
Right, you got to let him up, Pongo. Let him grieve.
He can breathe, all right?
I said grieve.
And my name's Harold Booker.
Yes, sorry, I forgot. Harold here is the great-great-grandson of a slave master from Jamaica.
What'll I do with him, Jack?
Now, look, this'll chill him out. Look, there you are, Reggie. You don't need to grieve, son. You need to chill out.
I'm still going to kill some screws for topping Ronnie.
Well, that's sensible, pal. They'll send you to Broadmoor. Maybe you can have a nap with Ronnie's ghost.
You've got some coming as well, Eddie Richardson. We got a few scores to settle.
Come on, chill, man. He ain't having no effect, Jack. You cut it too much, man.
Here, give him another line, eh?
Have a big snort at this, man.
I'm still going to kill you. And all them blacks in here.
Now, what do you want, Brian? Where's Leah? Here, I heard you went to see her. You're not thinking about raping her again, are you? We'll have to have a straightener.
Is your mind going? That's all in the past since I found Jesus and became vegan. Anyway, I don't think she loves you.
You're a liar, Brian Oldman, and a fat pup.
You need glasses, Jack. I've done a lot of work.
Now, come here, then. Come here. Leave it out, Jack. We're all mates.
You've got some coming at all, Richard.
Who killed him? Who killed my money with all them drugs?
Everything's calling here, Mr. Peters.
What? We rushed up two flights for nothing.
Yeah, I'd say so.
You think you're all going to be looking at parole next? You're all nicked!
I don't know who was the maddest. Reggie Cray, Jack Braden, or the one that died in Broadmoor. Summary justice prison style cost us all 2 weeks behind our doors. Of course, we missed Ronnie Cray's funeral. Crowds lined the streets in the East End for him, apparently. Now, Jack didn't say anything, but I knew he was wondering about his own immortality. Whether anyone would remember him. He still wouldn't believe that Leah had no feeling for him, and said I'd see soon enough when he gave her one. I suspect he was plotting to do just that as she moved around the prison. I couldn't warn her not to let herself get in any dangerous situation with Jack, only via Mum.
Leah's sensible enough, Brian. She'll know how to keep clear of my brother. But I will warn her when she telephones.
It concerns me, Mum. He's up to his eyeballs on dope. He could hurt her.
Well, then you should warn the prison authorities.
To say what? Well, I mean, I'm in love with my doctor and I'm frightened Jack's going to get her. They wouldn't move him. They'd either move me or her.
Well, you mustn't worry yourself. I'll tell her.
Just tell her how much I love her, will you?
You look like you've lost weight. Is that diet of yours all right?
Still thinking about Joey Olinska and what he did to you.
What he did to you was worse. Well, you've still got your health.
Yeah.
There's some poor devil along the street I take out to tea a couple of afternoons. He's got dementia. It gives his wife a break.
So, I was talking to Eddie Richardson about some of the strokes they pulled with Joey back in the day.
Yeah.
Looking for someone to bring him down with. But the Richardsons were involved. They could get nicked still. There must be something you knew about him that could ruin him.
Well, would anyone go after him following his win in court? He seems to walk on water.
They're more like skating on thin ice. Oh, there must be something. Didn't you pug up a bit of evidence against him for a possible rainy day?
Oh, I was too trusting, Brian. That's my trouble. I never thought he'd do the dirty on me. I can't think of anything offhand. Not that I'd have evidence anyway.
Well, when you get home, sit down quietly and think back over your marriage about so many awful things he did to people. Like that banker, Julian Tyrwhitt. Joey jibbed out of his house and that valuable painting.
Well, Tyrwhitt deserved to lose everything. He was doing the same thing to other people.
It doesn't matter. Mum, this is about what Joey did back then that he wouldn't want the world to know about now.
I'll try. But when I think about him, I just get angry.
Good. Get angry. Get mad. Something will come up, you see. And let's find something and get Joey Olinska. It won't make you rich, but it will make you sleep easier at night.
I'll see what Leah says when I see her. I do enjoy our afternoon teas, Leah. I look forward to them each month. You must come to tea at the house sometime.
I enjoy giving you tea, Catherine. I know how much you like Simpsons.
You will listen to what Brian said about my brother.
I'm aware of Jack Braden watching me all the time. It's a bit creepy.
He can be very cunning.
I have a strong male psychiatric nurse with me. It's Brian we should be concerned about. Becoming fixated on getting even with Sir Joseph Olinska won't help him.
There are some things I remember that Joey wouldn't like known.
Well, you do what you think best, Catherine. Must be galling seeing him in his Bentley while you're struggling. Oh, miss, could we get some more hot water, please?
Ah, Joseph. Hardly expected to see you at a Labour Prime Minister's memorial service.
I had a lot of time for Harold Wilson. A shrewd politician. My wife, Margaret. Tony Blair.
Mr. Blair, they call you the arch moderniser.
Fight's yet to come, Margaret. Please, call me Tony. I'll walk you to your car, Joseph. Did he think any more about our conversation before your wedding?
I got rather distracted in court.
And rather shafted by the PM.
Well, I can understand his position. I might have been guilty.
Not until convicted. He should have had more faith.
I'd be prepared to cross the floor now. Labour seems to have dropped Clause 4 from its constitution.
Some of them would have given up their children rather than state ownership. It's what we offer in its place.
A mixed economy with a thriving private sector, as you said in your conference speech. Mm-hmm. Well, it's the future, Tony. You could wheel in PFI and keep government spending off the books.
You think we might form a government?
Oh, I wouldn't be thinking of coming over if I didn't.
I think PFI is an even harder sell. Harriet says it's backdoor privatisation.
Well, you see its merits, now you're rid of Clause 4.
A lot of work, Joseph. Your mind on it would be helpful. Margaret, nice to meet you.
Would you really consider crossing the floor to Labour?
Would you mind very much?
I've always been a Tory, Joseph.
That's the trouble with this country. We jog along in the same old rut. It's time for a change. You can drop me off at the office, Walter, and take Lady Olenska on home. You want to live like common people. You want to see whatever common people see. Want to sleep with common people. You want to sleep with common people like me. But she didn't understand. And she just smiled and held my hand.
There's your credit card, Sir Joseph. I've booked Covent Garden for the 15th. I have Mr. Tyrwhitt outside. He doesn't have an appointment.
I wonder what he's after. Is Lord Carson here yet?
No, sir.
I can give Julian 5 minutes. Interrupt as soon as Carson arrives.
Mr. Tyrwhitt.
Joseph, old friend. How kind of you to see me like this.
You should have given me some notice. We could have had lunch.
Well, that's very kind of you, Joseph, and then you always were so kind. Life seems to have treated you very well, than it so often does to the virtuous.
It has its ups and downs. My divorce was very stressful and quite costly.
Did Catherine sting you for much, old boy?
I was thinking of the emotional toll. The worst part.
Yes, of course. The fact is, old friend, life's not been so kind to me. You possibly know I'm 3 months in arrears with my rent, as you own the house now.
I don't collect the rents. My property managers do that.
Your man's threatening to put me out on the street. My family has had that house since Victoria ascended the throne.
It's business, Julian. We can't survive unless tenants pay their rents.
I wondered if you might give me a little leeway until I get back on my feet. It's not so easy to start over at my age.
It's not my decision. The property managers have complete discretion in the matters of arrears. I'd have a nervous breakdown if I tried to micromanage every aspect of my business.
Yes, I do understand, of course.
Look, for old time's sake, I'll have a word with the manager. Remind me, which area is it?
Belgravia. I'd be most grateful.
And what do you need? A month?
That would be a godsend. I can sort everything out by then. I'm so grateful to you, Joseph. Joseph, you couldn't see a way clear to making me a small loan, say £1,000. It would be unsecured, of course. It's so very difficult to get credit nowadays. £500 would be most helpful.
I guess you haven't dealt with your gambling addiction.
Yes, I have, of course. I don't go near the wretched nags now.
Yes, Rita?
Lord Carson is here, Sir Joseph.
Thank you. Thank you. Just give me a moment. I don't carry any cash. I've got a petty cash box here, whatever's in it. £80 and change, Julian, that's all.
Oh, that will help me with taxes to other appointments. Thank you, Joseph. You will speak to your property manager.
Happy to.
Morning.
Edward, come in. Rita, can you organise some tea for Lord Carson?
Was that Julian Tyrwhitt flying out of your office like he was on fire?
Well, I didn't know you knew him.
He was always one for the horses.
I suspect he still is. They've been his ruin. He's about to be put out of the house which my company owns. Rent arrears.
Embarrassing for you.
You don't help a compulsive gambler by giving him money, but I'm afraid I just did. Call me foolish or weak. He has to hit rock bottom. No house, no job, no money, no foolish friends, just to have any hope of recovery.
Well, they certainly won't do it through a turf accountant. But let's talk about my troubles, Joseph. He'd like to have those, I'm sure.
How close are Glaxo to making an offer for Cavendish Pharmaceuticals?
Too close. Some board members are keen to accept if it becomes official.
Have you thought about burdening your company with debt?
I loathe debt. It might make us less attractive to Glaxo. It wouldn't help us.
Our bank part owns a pharmaceutical division in Smolensk out near Belarus that would fit well with you. You could leverage your company to buy it. Long term, it'll deliver an excellent return.
Tell me more, Joseph.
Ah, Rita. Tea.
Shut the door, Tony.
Sounds like another bollocking, sir.
Not for you. Well, not this time. I've had the result of the inquiry into the conduct of Chief Superintendent Redford.
Clean bill of health, I hope.
The handwriting people concluded he forged my signature on that letter exempting Brian Perry from prosecution.
In a good cause, though, Gov. Oh,
most of us have been a bit swift in an hour time, but what he did made the police and the Crown Prosecution Service look incompetent, to say the least.
There's no denying they were. Complete wallies.
I wanted to take your mind on it before I pass this on to the disciplinary board, as you started off in the job with him.
Yeah, the difference being he was the chosen one. The job paid for him to go to university with entry as an inspector.
Yeah, yeah, it doesn't substitute for experience at the coalface.
Well, what do you want me to do, Gov? Say, don't pass it on?
Is that what you think?
Well, next month he's got 30 years' service.
You're being sentimental, Tony.
I'm being practical. There'd be huge negative publicity for the Met. Villains he's put away would want their cases reviewed. Some might even get an appeal, and for the sake of a month.
Are you going out with 30 years under your belt?
I'm 47 years old, Gough. I've been a policeman all my working life. What else would I do?
Oh, with your brain, you could run GS4.
It wouldn't be enough earners. I plan to have a 30th birthday party at the Nick in Hyde Park.
Oh, can I come? The shop, Tony?
No one. I think the whole squad's here, even those on the awkward shifts. No one wanted to miss out.
Yeah, you must be the shrewdest or the luckiest old Bill ever, Gov, surviving without ever being nicked.
What about the most honest, Tap?
That goes without saying.
You were right about John Redvers, Tony. The prize isn't worth the candle. The report on him has been shelved.
I heard he plans to stay on in the job a while.
Well, he better practice forging signatures.
Speech!
Right.
Just let's put our hands together and welcome our governor to tell us how to survive this job for 30 years. Yeah. Tony Winston!
I appreciate that, but I have to say, I'd sooner you lot put your hands in your pockets and had a whip round for me. I need the money. Or at least buy me a drink. When I took this job, I was told as governor of the flying squad I would never have to buy a drink again. And so far, it hasn't quite worked out. Even so, I couldn't wish to work with a better group of guys and gals. Even if a few of you are a bit slack when it comes to writing up your diaries. Someone asked me recently how I survived being a copper for 30 years and a detective for most of that time. I told him it was by keeping my diary up and contemporaneous.
Contemporaneous?
Yes. When Operation Countryman detectives come knocking on my door, you remember them?
No!
Hey? Yeah, you remember them. Chasing down tittle-tattle from people with a grudge. I can honestly turn around and say, it wasn't me, I wasn't there, and point to the diary entry that my governor had signed off on.
Oh, well done.
But seriously, despite all the bureaucracy that has been ushered in, I've still got the best job in the Met.
Yeah.
So, here's to the next 30 years.
Nice speech, Tony. Why can't I come over onto the flying squad?
Just being my ex, you wouldn't want to call me, Gov.
Wouldn't I, Gov? Of course I would, Governor.
No, people would think I was favouring you. My authority would go out the window. Why don't we get out of here, son? I'll take you to dinner at the Mirabelle.
You must have had a right good earner.
Come on.
Inspector Valens, Sir Rafe.
Thank you, Angela. Inspector Valens, why all this cloak and dagger stuff? Are you looking to join our spooks?
No, Sir Ralph.
It's a small matter, Inspector, but we may as well have it right. My name is Rafe, not Ralph.
I beg your pardon, Sir Rafe. We've arrested a Julian Tyrwhitt for credit card fraud.
Well, hardly a matter for the security service.
No, sir, but the card he used was stolen from Sir Joseph Olinska. When we entered that into the computer, a note came up to inform your department.
Did he say how he came by this credit card?
He said he stole it from Sir Joseph's office. He's made a statement and is being helpful.
Where is Mr. Tyrwhitt at present?
Belgravia Police Station, sir.
Helpful, you say? Perhaps I'd better see him.
Angela, can you alert my driver? I'm going out.
Are these cells wired for recording, Inspector?
No, sir.
Open up. Let's see what he has to say. Mr. Tyrwhitt, you've been most helpful to the police. Let's see if you can be just as helpful to the security service. As this is now a security matter, Inspector, I'll interview Mr. Tyrwhitt on his own.
Yes, of course, Sir Rafe. Just ring the bell when you're done.
I'm Sir Rafe Courtney. I run the security service.
Yes, I know who you are.
You were a partner with Sir Joseph Olinska in an investment bank that collapsed.
No thanks to the wretched little Jew boy. He left me and my partners to hold the fort.
Is that why you stole his credit card? Because you feel he owes you something?
Yes. He stole my bank, my house, a valuable heirloom painting, and almost my sanity.
I'm not judging you, Mr. Tyrwhitt. Merely clarifying the picture. I know what Olinska is, and I sympathize.
If you think you know what his odious crimes are, double and treble them, and you'll be nearer the truth.
I've had my eye on Olinska for a long while. He needs to be brought to book. You are perhaps the means, Mr. Tyrwhitt.
I'll do anything I can. I thought you'd be the person to help Sir Rafe as soon as you stepped through the door. You're one of us.
I am, Mr. Tyrwhitt.
You have an interest in children. Shall we say, the education of young children?
You must know a great deal about Olinska's shady deals and money laundering at your bank. Let's see if we can't bring him down.
This is 727-2777. Hello?
Margaret, this is Anatoly Popov. Is Joseph available? It's urgent.
Anatoly, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. Joseph was at a late-night sitting at the House of Commons. Can't it wait?
It can always wait, Margaret. But waiting costs money.
Who is it, Margaret? Chief Whip.
It's Anatoly in Moscow. He says it's urgent.
Yeah. Oh. Anatoly, how's the weather?
Only in Britain do you talk about weather. Here, it's what it is, Joseph. We have Vladimir Putin's people trying to stop our sale from Smolensk of the pharmaceutical division to Lord Carson's people.
Remind me who Putin is?
He's ex-KGB. He runs the Committee for External Affairs in St. Petersburg. He says the deal is a fraud.
How is he interfering from St. Petersburg with this sale? We bought this division when we bought the whole of the old Soviet pharmaceutical operation.
I know this, Joseph. You know it, and Putin's people know it. But his reach is very long.
And what does President Yeltsin say?
Yeltsin is sick. He's losing control not only of his health, but the whole federation. There is talk of Vladimir Putin coming to Moscow to help him.
Help him with what? Stealing more of our assets?
This is not stealing, they say, Joseph. They say they're stopping the misappropriation of Russian birthright.
Have we got anything on Putin we could use as a lever?
He permits the export of metals valued at millions of dollars in exchange for foreign food, which doesn't arrive.
And who stops him?
This is the new Russia. It's the same as old. The committee looks and does nothing.
Then it's a question of how much his gangsters want. Start negotiating with them. Up to $10 million, Anatoly. I'll tell Lord Carson that the price went up. He's still getting a bargain.
This is good, Joseph. We don't lose money. I'm sorry I disturb your sleep.
Nothing disturbs my sleep. Let me know any developments.
Oh, what a charming little house this is, Mrs. Oldman. Yeah, Catherine. Charming.
Not quite what I'd grown used to.
No, but far easier to maintain on a reduced income.
If it got reduced any more, it would fall through the cracks in the floorboards. Are you sure I can't get you a coffee?
A coffee? No, thank you. What do you know about your ex-husband's dealings with one Jose Picardo?
Oh, Wasn't he the drugs man who was shot at the Dorchester Hotel?
Sir Joseph was laundering drugs money for him through his bank.
I remember he had a lot of dealings with him. He came to dinner at Stanley Gardens with Mrs. Thatcher. The cash came over from Colombia in a diplomatic bag.
Oh, excellent. You do remember. Do you know the name of the person who brought the money in?
The courier came to their house one time with a bag. Joseph was furious.
And well, he might be. It would have made him vulnerable. If we can get the name of that person and find him, we may make Sir Joseph even more vulnerable.
Hermes, I think he was called. Ooh, something like that.
The winged courier.
That's not very Spanish, is it? No, it was Hernandez.
Alvaro Hernandez. He went to the bank, too. Excellent, Catherine. Perhaps I will have some coffee after all.
Brian, we got a scheme for getting even with Joey Oldman, or Linska, or whatever bollocks he calls himself now, or BP has.
Well, that has to be better than the previous gambits.
Yeah, well, nothing's guaranteed, Brian. You know, in here, you're a bit restricted.
Really? Oh, I hadn't noticed.
Eddie and me thought that you should blackmail him.
Brilliant! Why aren't you two geniuses running the country? I tell you what, I'll send him a note, shall I? Telling him to leave a pile of dough outside the prison gate.
No, that won't work. Oh, you're kidding. No, you need someone reliable outside to do what you ask.
Do you remember a bent old bill called George Fenwick?
I'll say I do, and with good reason.
I hear. He's looking for a bit of work.
He came down here to see me and threatened me with an extra 10 years for handling that stolen gold if I gave evidence about Sir Joseph Alinska.
Why, I'd say that puts George Fenwick in Joey's camp, wouldn't you?
Fenwick would let you shag his dog if the price is right.
That leaves a couple of questions. Would you trust the ex-old Bill? And what are you blackmailing with? New evidence about the fire that killed those kids and their mother?
You must know plenty of strokes he pulled, Brian.
Would he care? He thinks he's untouchable. He probably is.
Why don't you write down everything you can think of when you're doing your studies and the brain's fresh?
You could get some bosh out of that tightwood for your mum, Brian. She's more than entitled. Well, do.
I'll give it some thought. Send Mum a visit in order. Ask what she thinks.
Is it safe to talk in here, Brian? What if the other prisoners or their visitors here?
Look around, Mum. Do they look like they're listening? They've got their own problems.
Wouldn't you get in serious trouble if this blackmail went wrong?
Like I'm not already. With my mum struggling to keep a roof over her head and me and Ian not able to help. We could help with this.
I wouldn't trust George Fenwick. I remember him. He used to collect rents for Joey off all those blacks he crammed into his houses in Notting Hill. I never trusted him back then.
Well, I don't know anyone else to trust.
Well, what about Sir Ralph Courtney?
You have got to be kidding, Mum! I would trust him like I trust Tony Wednesday.
He was very hurt when Joey went off with his wife. He seems like such a gentleman. It's hard to believe he does all those things to children, you said.
Him being pissed off with Joey Alinska is about his only redeeming feature.
He came to see me the other week. He asked about money laundering Joey did through his other bank, the one with Julian Terwitt.
Do you know much about that?
Well, I remember a man from the Colombian embassy came to Stanley Gardens with a bag full of money. He was called Alvaro Hernandez. Oh. Sir Rafe is trying to trace him.
That was a while ago. With this Hernandez may be dead.
Sir Rafe doesn't think he is.
Look, it'd be good if Courtney does manage to nick Joey, but you won't be one penny better off. I suppose you've no option. You have to deal with the devil and hope for the best.
Brian, you might get out yet. One thing could lead to another. That domino effect Sir Rafe talks about.
Oh, Catherine, thank you for coming in. I didn't want you to say too much on the telephone in case anyone was listening. You look tired, dear lady. Can I offer you some tea?
Oh, a little nip of that malt you have might pick me up.
Of course. The sun being below the yardarm. Oh, what your son says is perfectly true. You wouldn't benefit from Alinska's demise or his going to prison.
He and his pals hatched up a scheme to relieve Joey of some money.
It sounds as though Brian's keeping bad company. Blackmail is a dangerous pursuit. one that could get you into serious trouble.
I'd only be getting some of what is rightfully mine before he goes to prison.
Well, that's a very pragmatic view. Perhaps there is someone who can help us both to achieve our ends and avoid us taking the risk. Julian Tyrwhitt. Oh,
well, Joey treated him very badly.
Mr. Tyrwhitt is keen to pay him back. We would need to plan this very carefully, Catherine, so that nothing goes wrong. Or if it does, it doesn't rebound on us. All things being equal, we will see you getting a just financial settlement and Sir Joseph in prison.
Lord Carson is waiting for you in the dining room, Sir Joseph.
Good. Bring my usual tea.
No magic, please.
Edward.
This is a wretched business, Joseph. Is this Anatoly Popov reneging on our deal or trying to extract more money?
The Russians are always trying to get more money.
Thought it was too good to be true. Our auditors think the pharmaceutical division in Smolensk is worth quadruple what we're paying. Even so, a lot of investment is needed for modernising.
It's not Anatoly trying to extort money from you, it's this Putin's gang. Boris Yeltsin being out of action with his heart bypass. People are manoeuvring to take over. I'll go out there and negotiate with them. We'll see who else we have to bribe.
Your people have such a way with money.
My people?
The Jews.
Ah.
If you can bring this off, Joseph, and secure the deal, we'll double your fee.
No, Edward. When I bring it off, you will double the bank's fee. You'll pay me as much again and give me a seat on the board of Cavendish Pharmaceuticals PLC.
I have no doubt he'll bring it off. The prices here are extortionate, Joseph. But let's order. I'm starving.
The storm clouds were gathering for Sir Joseph Olinska. Only he couldn't see them. And when the storm breaks, he's going to get a soaking. And they were gathering for me too, and Jack Braden was again going to be the cause of my misfortune, as I was going to be the cause of his. But there I go, getting ahead of myself. Money don't get everything it's due. What it don't get, I can use. Now give me money.
In G.F. Newman's The Corrupted, Joseph Olinska was played by Toby Jones, Brian Oldman, Joe Armstrong, George Carman and Tony Blair, Nigel Cook, Brian Perry and D.A.C. Henderson, Nicholas Murchie, Warder Peters and Judge Kelman, Paul Kemp, Alex Murray and Inspector Valens, John Hastings, Margaret Courtney, Flora Montgomery, Leah Cohen, Jasmine Hyde, Nurse Moriarty and Reggie Cray, Lucas Hare, Eddie Richardson, Charles Davis, Pongo, Damian Lynch, Jack Braden, John Hollingworth, Sonia Hope and Rita, Sarah Lambie, Julian Tyrwhitt, Jonathan Taffler, and Lord Carson, Jamie Newell. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The Corrupted was produced and directed by Clive Brill and is a Brill production for BBC Radio 4.